Our reading is from John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Be seated. Unbearable. Now, there is a word filled with emotion. When we hear it, images come to our minds of unbearable situations that we have had in our lives, in our own lives, in the lives of our family, in the world. Tragic accidents, natural disasters, death, disease, injustice, intolerance, divisiveness, brokenness. Yes, we are all, probably each one, able to recall unbearable moments, unbearable circumstances. But stop, if you would, for just a moment and think about those moments in life that are just the opposite. Newborn babies, weddings, random acts of kindness from a stranger, forgiveness, grace, joy, love. Moments of great beauty, you see, can be just as overwhelming as moments of tragedy. They can be overwhelming and unexpected and unbearable in their own way. They too can bring tears. They too can knock the breath out of our lungs. They too can leave us speechless. Unbearable moments, bad and good, are wake-up calls as we journey through life. Father Michael Marsh writes, "We sleepwalk through our days, missing life, love, beauty, and each other. The unbearable can awaken us, offer insights into our life, teach us about ourselves, grow us up, reveal the presence of God." He concludes, "Those who stand in this paradox of bearing the unbearable are given eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to love." Marsh's point here brings this question to my mind: are we ever closer to God than when we are in these unbearable moments? In today's scripture, we find Jesus beginning to wrap up his final teachings to his disciples. His arrest is imminent. And throughout what Jesus says to his closest followers and friends that we find captured in chapters 14 through 17 of the Gospel of John, we hear Jesus promise throughout that although he will no longer be with them soon, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth in today's passage, even though Jesus will no longer be with them, the Holy Spirit will. And in making these promises of the Spirit to come to his followers, Jesus is reassuring them of two things. First, they will not be alone. Through the Spirit, they will be connected to Jesus and to God. Through the Spirit, they will join in the works of God as they continue Jesus' ministry to the world. Second, Jesus' gift of the Spirit ensures that even though he will be gone and unable to teach them as they move through new challenges, questions, and situations in the world, they will be able to face all of these, still guided by Jesus' teachings, because those gifted with the Spirit will ever be able to interpret them afresh in an ever-changing world. Jesus, as he sits in the upper room with his followers, Jesus knows that they will face some very difficult situations as they go on in ministry after he ascends. He knows that they will, but he knows that to try to tell them about those unbearable moments to come would do them no good. Lutheran theologian and professor Rudolf Bultmann writes of this unfortunate dichotomy: "The believer can only measure the significance and claims of what it is he has to undergo when he actually meets it. He has to anticipate the future in faith, not in foreknowledge." In short, if the disciples knew what was to come, it would be as unbearable as what was to come. The disciples were going to see their context change. And while what they learned from Jesus would surely be helpful as their world changed, it was not going to be enough. It would not be a living word on which to make decisions. They would need more. They would need the interpretive power of the Spirit of truth. When we read our Bibles today, we need to be keenly aware of the truth that context changes. Situations change, culture changes. Any one of us who has ever said something like, "I am glad I did not grow up in an age of social media like my children, grandchildren, or youth today are," you know what I mean. Context changes. Anyone who has ever reflected back on the good old days, when it was safe to let your kids roam around the neighborhood on their bikes all day without fear of something bad happening, when it was okay to leave your door unlocked, or when things on TV and in the movies weren't so deplorable. You know what I mean. Context changes. The world around us constantly changes. Questions that were not even dreamed of in Jesus' day are a regular part of our day-to-day lives. And it is tempting, it is desirable to be able, when we are faced with one of these situations, one of these challenges, one of these questions, it is so desirable to be able to open up our Bibles and find a word that will give us an answer. But we have to take care when we do this. We must understand when we open our Bibles what the words that we read there meant to the people for whom they were written in the original context. I had a teacher when I was learning to prepare sermons and do the study that it requires to do this. I had a teacher who would say as many times as she could fit it in during our classes, "Scripture cannot mean today what it never meant then." So we have to do our best, just do our best, to understand what it meant then and in what context before we can bring it forward to today. Some situations that we face today are simply not addressed in the Bible, no matter how much we might want them to be. But Jesus promises his disciples, and he promised us, that the Spirit will help guide into the truth. When you hear truth there, think the way, the truth, the life. Jesus promises that the Spirit will help guide to the truth in the midst of the unbearable. in the midst of any change that is faced, in the midst of whatever new thing the world might throw our way. Jesus promised that to the disciples, and he promised it to us too, and that is a sheer gift. It is a sheer gift to know that we are not cut off from Jesus and his truth. It is a gift to know that the words that we find in the Bible, when they do not directly address something we are facing, the Spirit will help us connect to the living truth that is Jesus. But I have a little secret for you. There are often times when God-fearing, Spirit-seeking, Jesus-loving people can come down on diametrically opposed sides when they go to the Bible and seek an answer for today's questions, challenges, and situations. I wish it wasn't the case, but it clearly is. In the Methodist Church right now, it is painfully clear that this is the case. It is actually one of the more unbearable things in my own life right now, if I am going to be completely honest with you. But that said, even in the midst of all of this, I find great hope. I find hope in the little glimmers of Spirit-powered love and grace that I saw just a couple of weeks ago during annual conference. Annual conference is a yearly meeting of the lay and clergy leaders in our conference in the North Alabama area. And I see love and grace there, even in the midst of such division. Moments like one where two pastors in our conference who could not have more different interpretations of the Bible's view on human sexuality, these two stood up in front of all of those gathered and they shared with us that they had covenanted to be respectful of one another and to recognize that each one of them in their different ways and in their different contexts were reaching people for Christ in ways that the other could not do. I find great hope in that. Great, great hope. While I would be so much more comfortable if the Spirit had led us all to the same truth about these issues, I am comforted that the Spirit is empowering moments of hope and peace like that one, and many more that I experienced over those 3 days. And I am comforted that the Spirit is empowering this church and all of its people to seek the truth and to follow faithfully into ministry, into the community, into the world, no matter what our individual differences might be. I think we're made strong by being different and joined together in ministry for Christ. This is what we know and trust. Jesus is with us in the unbearable, both the good and the bad. And as Father Michael Marsh says, when we stand at the edge of life bearing the unbearable, we are standing at the opening into all the truth. Nothing is withheld from us. We may not know it, we may not understand it or believe it, but in the midst of the unbearable realities, we are being guided into all the truth. Jesus is with us in the unbearable, both the good and the bad, through the power of the Spirit of truth. And through Jesus in the Spirit, we are connected to an ever-present, ever-guiding, ever-loving God who is calling us to be in ministry, continuing Jesus' work, God's work, in the world. So may we, as individuals and as a church, may we continue to seek the Spirit of truth that we might be led to live the way that Jesus teaches, not taught, teaches, still today. And may it all be to the glory of our Creator God. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that your Spirit would be with us today as we are gathered as a community of faith. There are many things which individuals among us differ on, but this we know. We place our hope in you. And we know that you have called us to be a people in mission. We ask that you would use our diverse gifts, our diverse thoughts, our diverse opinions, if necessary, to reach more and more people in this world. It's what you've called us to do, and you have empowered us to do so by the gift of your Spirit. Help us to seek you, help us to follow you in our own context, and to rest in the peace and eternal life that we find there. In your Son's name, amen.